Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Today, I have my friend on, Jess Klasnick. Jess is a friend of mine, and she's also a life coach. She's a mama to three, and she has an incredible story of how she really helped herself learn to manage her emotions, learn to be herself and not let other people dictate how she feels about herself. And we go through this whole thing. We really go through a life coaching session, honestly, for me. And I give you some very vulnerable things that are going on in our life and how I let many times my kids or my spouses, the way that they act or react to something, dictate how I feel or how I feel about myself. And I think a lot of us do that and we don't even know it. I mean, for instance, if my kids are having a cranky morning or they gripe about breakfast, they wanted something else, that immediately triggers me into this kind of irritated state, and maybe our heated, you know, we have a heated exchange, and then I'm, you know, griping at them to go hurry up and put their clothes on because I'm still a little irritated about this. And then we get out the door and we go to school and everyone's, you know, in a bad mood. And then I feel guilty half the day because I treated them like that. And so she really helps us figure out when we're dealing with these different things. Maybe it's our spouse, maybe we have these expectations and they're not meeting them. And quite frankly, half the time, they don't even know what our expectations are, and maybe our expectations aren't the best. And so she really puts all of those into perspective for us. I think whoever is listening today, you will definitely get something out of this conversation. Hey, Jess, thanks so much for being on our Be Love, Do Good podcast today. It's like spoiling me because I get to be with you in a conversation, obviously for our podcast guests, but I don't ever get to talk to you anymore because we don't live in Colorado anymore. So it's such a treat to just get to chit chat with you. And we'll just say it's for our podcast, but it's really because I just want to talk to you.
I love it equally, Chris. This is perfect.
So Jess has been such a teacher, even just to me, reading some of the things that you talk about. And Jess, what would you say, give me kind of a rundown of your life right now and what you're doing for other women and how that has just empowered you? Because I've seen you kind of take this transition change in your own life, and I can't wait for you to share that with us today.
Yeah, so it's interesting, Chris. My husband and I went through a really big transition several years ago where he left his corporate job on Wall Street. We sold everything we owned. We traveled the world. We moved to the mountains. We lived in an RV. So it was this string of all these really big changes.
Those aren't big at all. Those are so small.
So we literally like flip our life upside down.
And you have three kids, just FYI.
And we have, we do have three boys. So now we're sitting here after doing like all these grand things that we had always dreamed of. And we're like, wait a minute. I thought this would feel so much better than it does. But we were still having struggles in our marriage. We weren't quite sure, like, what we wanted to be doing for careers and how our life was going to unfold after this like big turn of events. And it was really interesting because for me, I'm like a very type A driven, efficient woman. I like wanted to fix it all. I was like, I know exactly what we need to do. I know what you need to do.
Yeah, right.
And I've got the bullet list to show you everything you should be doing right now, not only to figure out our marriage, but to figure out what you want to do for your job and for us to all be happy. And that was just my go-to, Chris. I was like the fixer. So I was going to go about fixing this. And the like the big, you know, surprise moment was he was like, no thanks. Oh. Like,
you're like, wait, what?
What do you mean? No, thanks. And so we went through just a lot of unraveling and uncovering of our marriage, of our family, of like what we wanted to really be doing in this world to just bring us to where we are today. And pretty much over those last, I would say it's 2 to 4 years at this point, we really just started creating all of the things that we wanted, the things we wanted for ourselves, things we wanted for each other and for our family. And it's been a journey to get there. And we're still uncovering it today.
I love that you say it's a journey, and I love what you're doing today. So what you're doing now is coaching other women, moms, you know, wives, entrepreneurs to truly kind of give a synopsis of what you're doing now in your profession, because this will help me. I kind of want like a masterclass from you on emotions. I want some help with that as a mother, as a wife. And I think you have so many incredible tools. That's why I wanted to have you on today to help us manage some of the things that we feel like we have to have under control or the expectations that are crushing our soul. And you're going to give us some freedom in that. So tell people kind of what you do right now and what led you to that space.
Yeah. So I am a life coach. And what that means is I help people figure out how to get the things they want in their life. Most oftentimes, Chris, really the biggest thing that is standing in our way is just ourselves. The things that we believe about ourselves, the things that we believe about who we are as a spouse or as an ability, like as a worker, like what would be our ability to earn money and how much money do we deserve to earn and how much would we have to work to earn that kind of money, or who we are as a parent. Like, do we think of ourselves as like the parent that always yells? Do we think of ourselves as always being overwhelmed? And I really help people work through some of those obstacles to start understanding why they do the things they do. And if they don't like it, how to change it, how to react differently, how to work through a problem in a new way so that they can start doing things differently and living a life differently than they ever have before.
And that's something that you did personally before. So this is why I love you, because it's not like you're just randomly telling people what to do. You lived this where you've started working on you first and started figuring out your reactions to things and things that you wanted to change. Tell me one of the pivotal moments for you or one of the things that you learned about yourself that you were like, okay, I need to change this and this is how I do this. And now you're living very differently than maybe you did before.
Yes. Okay. This is such a great question, Chris. So this is like a very specific moment. This was probably about 4 years ago. We were living up in the mountains, and this was the pattern I had created for myself. My husband, Matt, would wake up in the morning and he would make lemon water. Now, sometimes Matt would cut a lemon. Sometimes he would cut that lemon and he would squeeze me a lemon water. Sometimes he would just cut the lemon and make himself a lemon water. Now, literally, whichever choice he made dictated what I felt about him that day. If he didn't make me the lemon water, he didn't love me. He was frustrated. He was grumpy and angry like I always thought he was. But if he did make me the lemon water, I felt so loved. I was so happy. I would kiss him and give him a hug. So literally our whole relationship was like pivotal on this one moment. Like, he didn't even know about it.
That's
I was just like cutting a lemon water at like 5 a.m. and has no clue that when I walk into that kitchen, what I see is going to dictate.
Do you love me or do you not? And people listening could make their own that lemon water. Like, it's probably not lemon water, but like for me, it's dishes in the sink. I'm like, seriously? Yeah. So as people are listening, I want them to think of what their lemon water is. Okay, continue.
Yes. Or other examples of lemon water would be like if he brings you flowers on Valentine's Day, if he picks up the kids when you're busy. Right? All of these things that we're like expecting them to do so that we can feel a certain way. So the reason that was so pivotal for me was one morning I was like, I literally am waiting to see what he's doing to decide how I feel. I am so sick of that. I want to be able to decide how I feel, and I want him to be able to do the things he wants to do And then we just get to be together and love each other.
And support, right, and support one another's things. Right, yes. Good. Okay, keep on. Yes. This is good. This is good.
Yes. So I decided, but I'm like, well, darn it. Like, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that my whole life. I've always dictated how happy I was by how successful I was at my job. Or I've always dictated how good I felt by how I judged myself as a mother. I judged my relationship on the lemon water, amongst other things.
Or right? friendships, like, or all those things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And really, like, the major problem with that is that I was constantly waiting for other people to do things for me to feel good about myself. And they always had to be doing things in order for me to feel good. And that puts a lot of pressure on relationships, friendships, work relationships, but also it gives me no autonomy, no sovereignty over how I want to live my life. So I started to uncover, how am I going to break this pattern that I've created? How am I going to let Matt make his own lemon water and not have me be affected by it and think the world is coming to an end if he doesn't make me one?
Right, right.
And I started to do the work with myself. So for me, and this is completely reflected in my coaching practice, the first was through meditation. I'm like an avid meditator. I incorporate prescriptive meditations in with all my clients. And the reason meditation is so important, and I'm not talking about just any kind of meditation, I'm talking about specific meditations that clear our subconscious mind. The reason that's so important is, gosh, Chris, there was a reason before Matt cut the lemon or didn't cut the lemon that I looked for him or for someone else to validate you. My love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I needed that. I was taught that at a young age or through my first boyfriend or whatever. It doesn't really even matter. All that mattered to me was I wanted to like wipe that slate clean. I wanted to recreate that pattern in my own mind. So I started doing meditation. I'm a big meditator. All my clients meditate for 3 minutes a day, pretty much every day. The second thing I started to combine with that was coaching. And the reason I think coaching is so powerful is, while meditating works on our subconscious mind, coaching works on our conscious mind. So it's literally what we're thinking about every day. Why did my mind go to Matt cutting the lemon made a difference? But there are lots of other couples out there where their husband may or may not cut them a lemon and they could care less. It's because the conscious thoughts we have about it are really different. And I, truth be told, had no idea what my conscious thoughts were. I, like, my mind was so like a pile of mush. It was thinking about so much all the time. I had so many things I was coordinating with my kids. I was homeschooling them. We were living in a new place. I didn't even know what was going on up there. And I was exhausted. So I was like, I don't even want to go there because I don't know what I'm going to find.
Right, right.
It's really big and scary. So I literally started unraveling those two things to start better understanding myself.
And then you did. And you started to understand that putting expectations on others is not fair to you, is not fair to others. The way that as moms, our kids behave in the mornings when they're cranky and when they're tired and whatever, that can make or break us. I know this for a fact. Like, if my kids are cranky and tired, then I'm cranky and tired, and then I'm annoyed, and then we leave the house like, ugh, you know, and then I'm guilty the whole day because I'm 43 years old and I probably should have had a better attitude, you know, like a 10-year-old. Should it make me feel cranky and angry all day long? So I love how you teach and coach others through this whole, hey, this is how you get to feel. You get to choose how you feel. No one else gets to dictate that for you. Kind of help us through that a little bit.
Yeah. So I'd love to use this as an example, Chris, if you don't mind, like just doing a little bit of coaching. So can you like think back to like, when was the last time this whole morning situation with the kids happened?
I mean, it's probably weekly. it probably happens probably most Mondays. Okay. Yeah, they're probably a little more tired and cranky. And I would also say it's probably at the end of the week when Grant's been traveling and I'm already really exhausted anyway. So I'm already teed up to be exhausted. And so that just like, you know, adds the thing on there.
Yeah. Okay. So did it happen yesterday? Was Monday. Did that happen yesterday?
It didn't happen yesterday because Grant is home and he took all responsibilities of the kids. And I have another kid sick, so he didn't even go to school. So not this Monday, but probably last Monday.
Okay. So what about when he, what about this Friday? Was Grant traveling last week?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about the, how things unfolded when the kids got home from school on Friday. He's been traveling. Talk to me, like if I were at your house, what that looked like.
So Friday was good. So it'd probably be Saturday. So Saturday, okay. I'll take you to Saturday just because Fridays are usually good day. Everyone's at practice and we all get together and it was a good day. Saturday is the day probably that Grant still wasn't home. He was with his mom and he's not usually gone on the weekends. But that was the day that we needed to get some stuff done. And people were maybe not getting the stuff done that I needed them to get done because we had friends coming over on Sunday. It needed to be clean. No one was listening. And, you know, and then I'm just angry.
Yeah.
That's probably what it looked like.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit. Like, what were all the things that they were needing to be doing that they weren't doing?
Clean up the room, you know, laundry, yeah. Like you name it. Like, you know, just chores or – and they always end up doing it. It's just not the preferred time that I want them to do, which is right at this moment instead of maybe 5 minutes later, which is my own control issues.
Right. Isn't it so funny though, Chris? Like notice this. Like the only – like in your mind, you think the reason that you're angry is because they're not cleaning their room or they're not putting the laundry away. But the really the only reason you're angry is because you're thinking, I want them to be doing it in this moment.
Yes.
Right? And that triggers the anger in you. And so tell me, you get angry. What does that look like? Tell me your version of angry.
Short. I'm not a yelly, but definitely short, not fun, quick and to the point. You know, it's not like a fun, joyful environment in my home like I would want it to be. Like it, like sometimes it very much is. That's not. Like you know when I'm on a, you know, let's get stuff done. Yeah, tirade. So
and they know too, right?
Yeah, they know too.
Yeah. So tell me, right, when you're feeling angry, you're short, you're not fun, you're quick and to the point. What do you think you're not doing when you're feeling angry because you think they should be doing it right at this very moment?
What do you think I'm not doing?
Yeah.
I'm not giving anybody any grace or patience. That's what I'm not doing.
Yeah. What else are you not doing?
I don't know. Probably just I'm not giving them their, you know, responsibility for their own, like, hey, it would be easier for me to give them some choices. Like, hey, this is what needs to get done today. Here's the time limit it needs to get done. Figure it out. And sometimes I would say that I do that and I do that well.
Yeah.
But then if I'm not in a good space, that's not the first go-to.
Right. So what do you think when you're not giving them grace, when you're not giving the responsibility to them to actually figure out, tell me like what does that create? Like what's the experience for you interacting with them when that happens?
Just irritation, frustration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Not love and not my be love do good.
Not right.
It's not what I preach every day. That is for sure.
Right. And so we see how we're just perpetuating the fact that it has to get done in this moment. I'm not going to give you any grace. I'm not going to give you the like responsibility to get it done in your own. We're going to perpetuate that feeling and like dig in even. It's like we're digging in even harder with our heels of like, you better get that done. Right. So, and it's interesting, Chris, like you're such a great example of this because like, right, you're like, no, we want to like be love. We want to have them give responsibility, but that doesn't mean we always do it perfectly.
Sure.
So all that I would want you to do is just have some awareness around when this is happening. Like you notice yourself getting angry, like what you would want to do in that moment. Like, what if you decided I'm going to just be really neutral when they're not putting away their stuff and they're not getting their stuff done? I want to be really neutral about that and you are neutral in other instances, so I don't think this is a huge leap for you. What would you have to think about them putting away their laundry and getting this stuff done to actually feel neutral?
Well, I think for me, it's remembering what great kids they are and that they actually do a ton of crap for themselves all the time. Like I have parented them in such a way where they take care of actually everything themselves. I don't make lunches. I don't do laundry for them. They do all the things. And I love that about it. Not that they don't have to be reminded, but I think for me, remembering like these kids do a ton of things, you know, on their own. They don't gripe about it. They just do it. And for me to get on them this one time because I'm frazzled, because I want the house to look a certain way because people are coming over, which is prideful. You know, once I start to figure out all that stuff, it helps me remember, oh my gosh, these kids are legit kids and I'm on them about one thing. And I do that, and probably a lot of us do that in our marriages, in our kids. Like when I'm thinking right now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just don't give people a break sometimes. The break that they need and deserve. I want people to give me that break. I want people to give me that grace. Right.
So I want you to notice just how like changing your thought from like, I want them to get it done right now to these are great kids. Like notice how that's going to change this chain of events. So then you start feeling neutral. When you feel neutral about it, what do you think you do in regards to the specific situation of them like not cleaning up and putting away their things?
I think I'm just calmer about it. And it's not that I don't have boundaries. Like when you say neutral, like explain neutral to me, because neutral sometimes to me might see like, oh, if they don't pick it up, like who cares? Like I still want – they still need to do what they've been told to do. They don't just get a pass. So yeah, explain that to me. What do you mean by neutral?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because I want you to know we ultimately want the same thing to happen. All we're looking to do is change your experience from it, from feeling angry to feeling neutral. Like what happens so oftentimes, Chris, particularly with like you and I tend to be like optimistic, easygoing, happy women. Particularly with women like us, we want to just go to like being happy or feeling really good. Oftentimes when we're feeling angry, that's going to be a little bit too big of a jump to make to go from feeling angry to feeling optimistic.
I'm so happy they're not putting their stuff together at the right time.
We're not living in a world of unicorns.
Right.
So what we try to do is like if I were to feel neutral about this, what would I do? Oh, I would probably let them know you guys need to pick up your stuff. And then I would go on like getting the stuff done that I actually need to do and not waste my time and energy yelling and being angry at them when ultimately we know these are great kids. They're going to probably do it anyway. Right? So all we're looking to do, like all I care about is you in that moment having a different experience. Right?
Okay, so let's go to, unless you have one that you want to go to. So let's talk about marriages, because I feel like one of the things that makes a strong family is a strong marriage. And for those, especially with kids, like when they're seeing angst between parents, they feel that. They know something's going on. And so one of the things you kind of talk about is a space before where maybe you and Matt had expectations for one another and you didn't live fully, you didn't get to live fully in who you were. And I think one of the goals for Grant and I mean, we've been married 20 years, but like figuring this out of like how to help each other live fully in who we are and support one another as well. Like support our fullness, that he doesn't have to be this for me or I don't have to be this for him, but we're, you know, supporting one another. We're also serving and loving one another. Obviously, that requires some sacrifice. But I don't have these ridiculous expectations of him making me lemon water, you know, or coffee every morning.
Yes.
And when he does that, awesome. But if he doesn't do that, I'm not like, oh my gosh, he just doesn't love me like he used to. I'm just not, it's not the same. You know, help us run through that and our expectations of marriage.
Yeah. So this is such a great point, Chris, and I coach on this all the time. And it's a concept I actually got from my coach, and it's around this idea of having manuals. Now, I like to think of a manual as a book of rules we have for the people around us. So using the relationship, we'll say it's like the book of rules we have for our husband. And we have all these rules. And when he follows these rules, we feel really good. Now, there's two big issues here is number one, we never tell him what our rules are. And number two, even when we do, he doesn't want to follow them, right? So it's like, shoot. Now he's not doing all the things I want him to do so that I can feel loved and feel happy and feel supportive. So we're just not meant to be. And that's actually not true. I think the very greatest gift we can give our husbands is to give them the gift of being themselves.
So good.
Right? To let them show up however they're feeling with all of the things that they're struggling with all of the hardships they're facing, and letting them be who they are. And what happens, Chris, and what we find is when we stop resisting who they are and let them actually be themselves, most of the time in my coaching, I find out we both want the exact same things. But we're too busy resisting each other and defending and blaming that we don't even realize it. And I'll let you know how you know this is happening in your relationship. You know this is happening in your relationship if you guys get in a fight and it starts spiraling downward and you don't talk and a couple days go by and you just let it go. And then you find yourself a couple weeks or a couple months later in the same, like a concept of the same fight. You don't talk, you spiral, and you just let it go. If you see that you're in this like groundhog day of you see what you're fighting about, it's the same thing again and again and again, and you don't know what to do about it. This is when you know manuals are really coming into play.
And I'm laughing about the manuals. I'm like, how long is your manual? Like how long is my manual? Like in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, like my manual is really long. And I think also it's wanting the other person to be more like you or be more like who you think they should be. And then in our heads, we're like, well, if they're not like that, that means they don't really love us or they don't really respect who we want them to be. And so can you give me some like tangible ways, like if someone's listening right now, and I would say, I'm just going to give a guess, like 80% of people who just heard that are like, oh yeah, 1000%. That is what we do over and over and over again, whether it's like the tit for tat, I did this, so you need to do this. That's a game we like to play a lot, yes. You know, and we're trying to get rid of. So can you give us some just tangible things of someone who's listening right now goes, okay, how can I get out of that? And then what are some tools that I can start putting in place of the manual?
Okay. So the most effective way to do this, and I'm not going to say this is the easiest way, but the most effective way so we can just start to think about it is if my spouse were doing that and it didn't mean anything about me, what would I be curious about right now? Okay. So if we put that, like, let's think, give me an example in your marriage, how we might be able to work through this. What's something that you see as a manual that you've got that we can apply this to?
I think the thing that maybe we have that's kind of on our like repeat is like keeping score of things. So like that, you know, tit for tat. I did this, so I expect you to do this. Or and most of the time, like you said, most time the manual is not actually even given. Like they don't even know what the manual is. They don't even know what we want. We never tell them. So
totally.
I'm annoyed by something he didn't do that he didn't even know that I wanted him to do, but I just expected him to do because of course you would do it if you really knew me, if you really knew what I want. You know, those are probably the things.
Okay. So what if it didn't mean anything about you that Grant didn't do the thing? What would you be curious about in regards to him knowing he didn't do it and it didn't mean anything about you?
Well, I would be curious. Well, I'd be curious to know what he's feeling, but I think it would give me some freedom to not feel like that's about me, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's the very first thing, right? We have a little freedom to be like, okay, this isn't all about me. He didn't do it. It isn't all about me. So I wonder what's going on. I wonder what he's thinking about.
Sure. Is he tired? He didn't do this because he's stressed. He's, you know, all the things. I don't know.
Yes. And I would say like a majority of the time with our spouses, it's like, oh, I didn't think of that. Wait a minute. I've been making it mean you didn't love me. And it just was because you didn't really think about it.
Right. How did you not think about that? Like in our heads, we're like, wait, how did you not think about that?
Right. And so I want you to notice, right? So then the second thing we go to is like, well, then you must not love me if you didn't think about it. But what if he really did love you and he just didn't think about it?
Sure.
Then what does it mean? And then you could be really curious, like if he did love me, what could it mean? Oh, like maybe he was tired. Gosh, maybe he had a really stressful day at work and like the things that I wanted him to do were not top of mind.
Yeah.
We just have no idea because we start creating all these stories about what it means about us. Most of the time, it means nothing about us.
Right. And would you say, I mean, I would go on a limb to say like it's almost like an arrogant, like when we are always consumed by like what someone is thinking about us or they didn't do this because of us or it. To me, it's a little bit like, well, I assume everyone's just thinking about me all the time.
Yeah, Chris.
Like, I mean, not to be like I'm putting words in your mouth, but like it's just kind of arrogant, honestly, and selfish.
Yes. And I like when I'll tell clients this, like I want you to see like how selfish it is. Most of us are like, oh, not me. I do everything for everybody else. But the reason we're doing that and we're creating those patterns is only so we can feel better.
So like the mom who is doing the 5 million things, like whatever, like they are the ones who carpool. Like what all the things that we have to do because we have a million things to do. And instead of doing it out, because I will find myself, I'm speaking on me. I'm not talking about anyone else. I'm talking about me. I'm very vulnerable here. We do all those things, not so much because we just love and want to serve our family all the time. Now it's become kind of a resentment that we are doing, we have to do all the things. We do all the things and no one thanked us for that. So you know what I mean? Like we're expecting the thanks, we're expecting, and it goes from instead of just loving and serving my family because I just love and want to do that to, I have to do this because no one else is going to freaking do it. I'm irritated that I'm the one doing it only. And can I get some help in here? And a few thanks would be great.
Yeah. And I like to think about Chris is it's just like layered resentment, right? It's going to start off with like maybe some frustration or disappointment and then maybe a little bit of sadness thrown in there. But what happens over the years is we just get all of this layers of resentment of I'm doing it all, but I don't want to not do it because it's actually like making me feel something at this point, valid, worthy, good.
Right.
Even if it's just to keep us busy so we don't have to think of all the other things we're feeling. But in the end, it's going to have these layers of feelings that we're going to have to deal with at one point.
Right. Okay, that's good. So as we kind of are thinking, like if someone's listening right here and they're like, yeah, those are all the things that I've been dealing with and thinking about. I love to kind of like at the end, I call it a Be Love quick tip, but like give people who are listening and they hear this and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in one of these pieces. Is there something that they could start thinking about this week? Like to something they can do, we like to do, or to think about that would help reframe maybe their, I like how you say experience, their experience or their attitude.
Yes. I love this, Chris. Yes. Okay. So the thing that I want you to think about as you're moving through the week is what do you want to most feel, right? Feelings can get a little bit like touch and go with people where they're like, I don't want to feel anything but happy all the time. So what I want you to notice is, let me give you an example. Like we see this a lot in my household. I have three boys. They like playing electronics and I ask them to turn off their electronics and it's either they just ignore me Or they're like, 10 minutes more, please, 10 minutes more, please. And then it's like this whole rigmarole of, no, we got to turn them off now. So what I want to do is I want to, it's a practice of, I ask them to turn off their electronics. They respond however they're going to respond, right? I'm not having a manual about how they think I think they should respond or how I want them to respond. They get to respond how they want. And then I get to decide, how do I most want to feel? Usually with my kids, it's like, I want to feel like I'm connecting with them, or I want to feel like I'm supporting them. And that's the feeling I want you to move from. So if it's like, I want to feel connected to them, I'm probably not going to be like, you guys are so ungrateful. You've already been on there for an hour. It's going to be, hey, we've got to turn them off. We're going to watch a family movie together. Right? It's not about not setting boundaries. It's deciding how I want to feel in that experience when I'm communicating with my kids. You could do that with your spouse as well, right? Your spouse uses like that tone, right? Like you guys are having a conversation. My clients are like, he uses this tone with me. It's like angry or he's frustrated. Okay, he's using that tone. How do I most want to feel? I want to feel like supported in our relationship. So I tell him, hey, babe, that tone is frustrating for me. What's going on? Tell me. I love you. I want to know what's happening. It's a completely different experience for me when I come from that place versus, there he is with that tone again. Ugh, I hate how angry or grumpy he is all the time.
And then your tone becomes that tone, you know, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to perpetuate that all day long. So just changing the experience with, what do I most want to feel in this moment?
I love that. And I think if I could add to that, it's also, you know, kind of that, let's see how they're not just about ourselves, but how do we want them to feel as well? You know, if we want to feel connection and support, I would say that most of the people in our life that we're closest to, we want them to feel that as well, right? So if I come at it with, hey, that tone sometimes makes me feel, it hurts my feelings, or it's makes me feel frustrated or whatever. When I come at like that and say, what's going on? Is there something wrong? Instead of, oh, you know, then they feel supported as well. It's not just me feeling that. It also in turn makes them feel, oh, she didn't yell at me when I acted like that. Oh, she actually cares what's going on. And then usually there is something going on. There's something else that has nothing to do with us at all. But, and you know, not just how we feel, but then we get to be the, you know, reciprocator to them and help them feel a certain wonderful way too, connected, supported, instead of just, I'm going to match your tone with my tone and then we're just going to go back and forth, which is what happens sometimes. So I love that. I think it can be reciprocated in that way too, which I hadn't thought of. So thank you.
Yeah, so good, Chris.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so these are some awesome tips. We could talk all day and literally go through our whole life and have all the things. But I will put all your information on our show notes. And just as, you know, as you kind of, as we wrap up, I think I would love just to tell, and I'd love for you, just any encouragement that you have, especially for moms who are feeling like they are maybe doing all the things, or maybe doing all the things wrong, or maybe they yelled at their kids and they're feeling guilt. I would just say it's never too late to try something new. It's never too late to be the parent that you want to be or be the spouse. Like no matter how far you feel like you failed or how far you feel like you haven't done the right thing, I want them to feel freedom to know you can start anytime.
Yes. And I've seen this time and time again, Chris, with working with moms whose kids have left the house, who have families of their own. You can always mend a relationship. So if it's something that's on your heart, it's there for a reason. Pay attention to that. Don't just dismiss it as it's too much work or it's too late or I don't know what to do. You figure this out. Every relationship that's sitting on your heart that you want to change is worth changing.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Thanks, Jess. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Jess. I hope you got some good tips and tricks, even through just the messes of our life. I think it's important to share those because we're not perfect. And, you know, I think a lot of people say, oh, that's going on in my life too, and maybe get some ideas from that. The Be Love quick tip for this week is, how do you want to feel? I love when Jess says that. Like, in these different situations, how do you want to feel? And how can you help yourself feel that way? It doesn't mean you're letting down boundaries or discipline or anything like that. But I love that question, and it reframed a lot of things for me. If you want to learn more about Jess or how you could work with her or get more tips and tricks, go to our show notes and we have all of her information in there. Thanks a lot, guys, for being love and doing good in your community. Just hear me, 'cause I'm-